The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open the word of truth to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. And after some review, we will pick up with verse 14. It is your responsibility as a believer in Jesus Christ to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, during the communication of the Word of God, if that is there, then you will have the patience to hear and understand the information communicated. If you're out of fellowship, well, all bets are off. You're not going to be able to assimilate and hear objectively information that will be presented to you today. This information is revelatory. It's blockbuster. But it is a progression that is necessary because it satisfies the information. What I am trying to do here is tell you exactly what the Hebrew cosmology presents in the opening chapter of the Word of God. Obviously, we have to tie together some other background information relative to certain verses, especially here in the beginning of this section. So it is your responsibility to be in fellowship and to concentrate on the presentation. All I ask is that you hear the information here with regard to the subject matter of the origin of things, the timing of this origin, and the circumstances. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we've assembled ourselves together to hear and understand what you have done with regard to the issue of creation. Thank you for all of your grace and upholding the positive volition of those who have an ear to hear. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right, now, you might jot down some things, at least mentally. If you have any disagreement with regard to anything I present here as a part of the background, actually you shouldn't, with regard to at least the aspect that God, who is the Creator, bringing things into existence because He can, pre-existed all physical matter to eternity past. From everlasting to everlasting. God is a spirit, invisible, immaterial. God is light. Space is endless. You don't come to a border and that's the end of space. While that's incomprehensible, it's true. God exists to infinity. He is not restricted by any boundaries. He is omnipresent and everywhere at once. That's the basic attribute of omnipresence. He is light. So this eternal space is filled with light. And God existed in that situation forever and ever. God has no beginning. God has no ending. He has no startup point. He is eternal. This is easily documented in a lot of scripture. Now, God decided to create something in this endless space. He decided to create, and we have the first verse of the Bible. Now, we've already shown you that God created, as a first order of business, He created angels. the whole angelic race, things invisible and visible, He, and specifically He, the second person of the Godhead. So there's nothing particularly new here at that regard. That is our first verse in the Bible. And the modification of the translation from the English version is critical. In a beginning, not in the beginning, as though this was the only beginning. The beginning here is the startup point. In a beginning, God. And we know it's the second person of the Godhead who is the hands-on creator, the one who became the Savior, and so forth. The verb created is consistent with what we've seen elsewhere. It's the word to create something that did not previously exist in a form here specified. We have two objects of the verb create. We have the heaven, or the heavens, and the earth. Now, here's the thing that I always knew it, but I never really touched on it. He created a throne room. A throne room. The angels saw this. They were eyewitnesses. That's where they become super culpable. The angels witnessed this brought into existence. They sang for joy when this happened. It's in Job. I gave you the verse in that regard. Now, the heavens were created. The heaven was created. It's a physical environment. People are there now. Angels are there now. They've been there ever since the creation of that environment. They witnessed with their own eyes this creation. These angels were brought into existence out of nothing, with their own personalities, their own dynamics, Lucifer, all the rest of it. They had mentality. They obviously can learn, but they had mentality. They weren't baby angels. They were all grown up. All classifications of them. They witnessed this, just as you and I will witness God creating the second earth, when there are some differences, but there's some similarities. The second creation will be eyewitnessed by you and I and the rest. We will see the Lord Jesus Christ bring this second creation, the second earth, into existence. And in the new earth, the throne of God, the physical throne, it's not a metaphor for His sovereignty. It is a physical throne. The physical throne will be relocated in the New Jerusalem, which will descend and set on the new earth. All right. God created the heaven and the earth. So the earth and the heaven are, relatively speaking, the same age, because this act was all done at once. So they're the same age. They're not separated by however long. The second verse establishes the fact that the earth suffered a cataclysm. This is consistent with our teaching through the years. It suffered a cataclysm because when God created the original earth and the angels were still all non-fallen, they were all where they needed to be, spiritually speaking, they would not have had witnessed God create what you have in verse 2. Something happened to Haaretz, the earth. It became something. The translation was is not real good. The earth became, cal perfect, of the verb to be or become, exist, happen. it became formless and void. I gave you a scripture from Isaiah that the Lord did not create the earth. Tohu wa bohu. Tohu wa bohu was a condition that implies very strongly, along with darkness, etc., it implies judgment. Why? Well, it's the angelic revolt. Now, how long the earth existed in its pristine condition before it was trashed, made this environment of tohu wa bohu. You have several things here that describe it. You have that it was also an environment, suddenly darkness is inserted. The realm of darkness is confined to the earth and the heavenly bodies. Darkness did not exist before, but it was brought in as a creative act of God. Notice another thing God created, but it doesn't say it here. It says it in Isaiah. The earth became formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the earth. All right? Darkness over the surface of the earth. There is actually no verb here, but it's clear that that's what it is. And darkness over the surface of the deep. The deep is to home consistently of the oceanic depths, not just shallow water. So darkness is over the surface of the deep. This darkness, again, points to a judgment, and this darkness will be dealt with, not absolutely, but dealt with. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. This action on the part of the Holy Spirit, mentioned here in the Bible for the first time, this action must have accomplished something with a rare verb to hover over. And the idea is that the earth was in non-occupancy. It was desolate. It was formless. It was dark. And it was cold. And the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. Okay, so those two verses and all that is involved therein stand outside this. We begin with the creation week. No one flinched before when we said that the biblical chronology has the restoration process at 3954 B.C., not tens of thousands of years, and certainly not all the rest of it. 3954. This is because we take the genealogies in the Bible and work through them and figure out our timeline, thus establishing 7,000 years of human history. That stays the same. Now you will notice on each of the days involved here, a 7-day week, which we all live by. The first day of the week, the very first day of the week, would be our Sunday. But there's no sun. None. If you had an assignment and you picked this thing up and you said, break it down, what's it saying? Just what is it saying? Let it speak to you, not you doing anything cute with it. Let there be light, and there was light. Now, people might speculate as to what that light is. But as I said, and any of the other times I've referenced this and taught it, this is supernatural light. This is not natural light. This is supernatural. Because there's no other way to account for it. There are no natural light sources at this time. All light is from God. You go to heaven, what lights up that place? The glory of God, His essence, which fills all space and is in the throne room. He said, let there be light. That's the divine directive. And there was light. The minute he said it, there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. In reporting on this, the light does not remove the darkness. The darkness remains in existence, but the light penetrates the darkness. On the first day of human history, the very first day of human history, with no humans, nobody here, and over this tohu wa bohu scene, we have a light source. And if it served the earth for 3 days. 4 days. Three. Served it up until the fourth day. So, it served the earth for 3 days. It acts in the same way that the sun does. There was no additional light to establish light for the evening or nighttime hours. So that's an eerie scene, to say the least. But God saw this light, identified it, and throughout this, everything he does, he recognizes and acknowledges that it's good. Much like you might do some job, some project, and you would get through with it, and you would be happy with it, and you would say, you pronounce that it's good. So God saw the light that was good and separated the light from the darkness. And he identified the light, and of course that's relative to the surface of the earth. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, day one. Day one's in the books. First day of human history, or history, is here. The second day is the controversial firmament. Then God said, let there be, King James Version, firmament between the waters. What? Between the waters. And let it separate the waters from the waters. So there's a separating thing between two areas of water. In the past, I taught it was the earth's atmosphere. But it isn't the earth's atmosphere. It is a dome, a vault of heaven, over which resides, over this footstool, resides the throne room. In this little dot in endless space. Trying to get you to get your head around this. All right. Waters above and waters below. God made the firmament and separated the waters which were below the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Thus establishing on D plus 2, our Monday, the firmament. God called the firmament Rakia, the firmament heaven. So it's a part of the heaven complex. And there was evening, and there was morning, day two. I gave you a few verses in this regard. Startling verses. God sits on his throne. The angel saw a figure or figures, the Father and the Son, sitting side by side on a throne. They'd never seen anything before. Anything. Now they see this. It's as much as, and he sits there. And so what we have is verses that would, you know, he walks on the vault of heaven. Job 22:14. Isaiah 44:40-42. He sits above the circle of the earth. Sits. And Amos 9:6, which you should note down as an interesting verse. The one who builds his upper chambers and has founded his vaulted dome over the earth. He who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. That's evaporation and rain like we had just had. All right. Now, day three. Again, all of this occurred in a process. It wasn't just bing instantaneously. It's a workman. It's a workman doing something, completing a project in a 24-hour period. We move to day three. More features are added. For those of you reading this, you realize that the things that follow were not there before. That's obvious. In other words, the one thing, you have a six-day project. This is what we did on day one, two, three, four, five, and so forth. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens. This is a divine edict, like let there be light, be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. So it's two parts. So what do I assume on that? I assume that the water is liquid, that the water covers the whole surface of the earth, and that God pulled up Pangaea. And in the pulling up of Pangaea, water runs off and seeks its lowest level. One place. One place is the pre-flood ocean. And whatever the shape of the landmass was, doesn't matter on that. Just simply that dry land had to appear, and this water had to run off, which it would naturally do. And he names the dry land Earth. All right? God called the dry land Earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Hence, establishing a vocabulary. We call them seas or oceans. The seven seas now. So he called the dry land Earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. All right. Day three has a two-part process. Two things occurred on day three of human history. Two things. The first, you've got to establish dry land. If you're going to put plants in, you've got to have them above water. You can't have them in the water. That's obvious. All right, another let there be thing. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. And then we have a kind of a, because it's more, plants are a little more involved. Plants yielding seed. Of course, we see that all the time, don't we? We're fixing food and stuff, we see seeds. Plants yielding seed. Fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them so they can perpetuate the species. And it was so. Now again, so he said, let it, and then we have the action, verse 12. So you always have the divine decree, the divine statement, let there be. And then the effect. What's the immediate effect? The earth brought forth vegetation. The reader of this might think, well, he just planted a bunch of seeds, but obviously he would know better than that, because man needs, and animals need, and everybody needs full-grown, full-blown plants. So that's logical. Adam and Eve were placed in a garden that had plants that appeared to have age. But actually, they didn't have much age. They just appeared to have age. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with their seed in them and their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, day three. All right, now, none of this so far has any traction in the academic world. None of it. Nowhere in the academic world is it this given any credence to. Because basically the academic world is godless. And Christians have compromised. They either ignore it altogether as though it was an embarrassment. Imagine going up to somebody and saying, did you know, somebody that says a Bible believer, someone that had quote verses and stuff. Did you know that we got all the plants on the earth, at least their ancestors, and the ones that have come down to us? Did you know we got all those before we got the luminaries? By luminaries, I mean sun, moon, and stars. By 24 hours. They think you needed to be committed. And so I get flack. I get dirty looks. I get people aren't going to come to class. Because I tell this. I report this. Unbelievable. And you have been here, and some of you are new, so I understand, maybe you, but you need to listen to your pastor teacher. Just because you've been here 40 years doesn't mean you don't have to listen to your pastor teacher. I am faithful here in reporting what's here. And I will be whatever before I try to make this different than it is. If you were in a class and you picked up a piece of literature and you analyzed it and you came up with stuff that was not directly here, you'd get an F. That's not what the guy's saying. Agree with him or disagree. We're not asking you to agree or disagree. We're asking you, first of all, to understand it. Of all the topics you'd think hit you in the face in the last days, it's the topic of creation. We live in the devil's world, need I remind you. He is a master deceiver, need I remind you. He has worked very hard through godless people, Bible-hating people, to establish fake science. It didn't happen overnight. And the masses didn't jump on board overnight. It took time. But this stuff was insinuated into all levels of society, especially in the areas of academia. Reinforced in 100 different ways. We hear it all the time. We cannot watch a nature program without, 150 million years ago. As if, that was just so easy to say and that's the way it is. If that isn't as remote from this scripture, I don't know what possibly could be. It's light and darkness. There is no commonality. People try to make commonality out of it. There isn't any. So for today, we launch into the verses on the fourth day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, these are names that came down the line, but we stick with them. I know they may have pagan connotations. It didn't bother Daniel that they changed his name to a pagan name. He didn't run in and protest and put in a petition, like some would have done. Well, that's pagan. I don't want that name. Well, there's a lot of guys in the Bible who have pagan names. Anyway, never mind. Origin of the celestial realm. It wasn't hiding out there somewhere. The celestial realm wasn't hiding and God just brought it in. The plants weren't hiding out there and he just stuck them in here. Had a big nursery up in heaven. And transported them down here. He doesn't need to do that. He put them all in the soil. Well, look at me like I'm crazy. It's what it says. Where do you think we got our plants? Where do you think we got them? Do your science books tell you where we got grass and apple trees and every kind of shrub and every kind of plant you can imagine, every herb? Where did they tell you got these? They give you the most ridiculous. I mean, the pagans, you make fun of them for how they said things happened. God is going to confound the wisdom of the world and bring it all down. And every high and lofty thought elevated against the knowledge of God will be exposed. And isn't it interesting that we have this shocking first chapter in the 21st century, and 20th and now the 21st, this chapter just stands tall. It has come under attack. Satan knew he had to attack it. Make it look stupid. Grass before luminaries? You're mad at me because I tell you that? You have one of two choices. You can be mad at me, obviously. Get your STA all involved. That's what some of you do. You get your STA all involved in this. You throw around and get mad and raise your voice or cry. Why can't you settle the hell down? Get in fellowship and look at this and imagine, just imagine that we have not had this like we needed to have it, to say the least. Entertain the possibility that God put us on a circular, flat earth. Somebody made fun of when I said something about that he put pillars on the earth. Well, what are they standing on? I'll tell you what they're standing on. The earth hangs on nothing. And who are you and I to say, well, I don't like that. Too bad. That's what we've got. God creates. He didn't seek any advice from the angels or anyone else how this ought to look, how big it ought to be, whatever. It's for His purposes. And by the way, God does not create, because He's got the ability to bring things into existence out of existence. We all well know that. Jesus could change water to wine with His deity. He could, all the different things He did, as an example, tapping into His omnipotence. God does not create things for the heck of it. If you had omnipotence, there'd be all kinds of weird stuff going on. But because He is righteous, because He has all these other attributes, He uses His omnipotence discreetly. It's always on display. He's holding this whole thing together. This whole dot in this endless space. This dot. Heaven. Earth beneath. And all that's inside the earth. And all that's on the surface up there in heaven. All of it has a purpose. He does not create things just because he doesn't have an ego problem. He's got to impress people. God's plan, and when you get it and you wrap your head around it, it's impressive. And it doesn't, and a thing doesn't have to be according to the size of whatever to be impressive. It just has to do work. And when you look at it, then it becomes impressive. You know there are small objects that are impressive. You don't have to have monstrosity-sized stuff to be impressive. All right, let's move on. Then God said, same procedure as in all the days before. This isn't difficult. It's an academic. Let's treat it as an academic exercise. The end, you don't like the Hebrew cosmology? Go make up your own. There was a whole bunch of them out there from antiquity. They had all kinds of versions of these things. Because, of course, they weren't enlightened with the Scripture and the Divine One. And so they had these cobbled, get messed up things. But the fact is, at least humans were thinking about, where did all this come from? We're not animals and we don't care. We just want to have our bellies filled and take care of our impulses. We are humans who reason and we think. For some, it leads them astray. For others, they look at things objectively. They're not looking at things through the lens of, what's everybody think? What's the majority think? If we were the majority view, we'd have nothing. We go with what the Scripture says. And we suffer being rejection, persecution, being laughed at, mocked, threatened. I mean, this whole thing. I've been threatened. People mock, raise their voices. Do you think that's appropriate? Even if I was wrong? No, it isn't. And to other people too. Been disrespected.
Knock it off. It's not the will of God. It only brings problems to you. The way you deal with people who are on the other side of the issue is you're patient. You're kind. You don't get all worked up. If they want to hang on to whatever, then hang on to it. But like any doctrine ever been taught in Maranatha Church, it produces controversy at a certain level. Probably not as big as this one will. But who knows? The thing is, we teach it, and each believer is to examine it, examine all things, and hold to that which is good. That's what the Bible says. And let every man, every person, be convinced in their own mind. There's a process in any doctrine being convinced. When I first heard the doctrine of the blood of Christ, I vibrated all around my tape recorder. I thought, oh, here it is. This is what's screwed up about this. But you know, I got my emotions out of the way. I sat down and I started saying, you know, because I had a history. Yeah, I did have some problems with that. It didn't make sense. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit back and I'm going to go through it point by point. If it's the literal blood of Christ, I'll stick with it. If not, then it needs to be changed. And imagine teaching that before a Baptist church. That have sung power in the blood and they have and everything so ingrained in him it isn't even funny. Imagine trying to do that. I mean, they look at you like you're Satan. They're screaming every other Sunday, oh, the Methodists took all the word blood out of their songs. And so that was their doc. I mean, please. That's beside the point. The point is, what does the Bible say about this when you put the pieces together? So you, if you've been here any amount of time, you were liberated from a whole bunch of junk. I was too. And you got the darkness out of your soul. You don't want this darkness in your soul. Of all topics to have screwed up, creation. Yes, we all agree God did it. But how did he do it, when he did it, and what are the details? That's where the difference comes in. What we as Christians have tried to do is wed it to Copernican astronomy with its modifications over time. Because everybody added to it, and they got this. Well, we got to have this, and we got to have this, and then they'll know it's this way. No, the sun really is this far away. No, it's this. And all the little stuff they've done up to this present day. I saw an announcement by NASA. Aliens have figured out how to warp time and space. You've been interviewing them? We figure that's what they've done. And they go on and on with this. It's like, oh my. Doesn't it give you pause when they say they've got a rover running around Mars named Curiosity? How cute. What a cute name. Like you'd name your dog or something, Curiosity. And they can send pictures back, and it takes 30 minutes. And it's all this red dirt, and they're all running around, and they're on Mars, and they found life up there now that's 3.5 billion years old. Well, you know, that's a propaganda mill. It's a propaganda mill. It's like the Vatican. Once you start figuring this out and realize this is so worlds apart from here. Oh, okay, they got a bunch of science. They do certain things. I understand. But they lie too. They're Masonic. The roots are Masonic. I don't trust the Masonic order to tell me anything about anything, about the Bible or anything. It's a brotherhood of darkness. Let there be lights, luminaries, if you will, in the firmament, not outside it. If you take firmament as atmosphere, the weak translation expanse, New American Standard. I know why they translate it. Well, I don't know for sure. I didn't interview the guy. But I'm pretty sure that they didn't want the firmament thing in there because they're going with this other deal. But do any of these interpreters in Christian schools say, whoa? What do you say to somebody? We got all of our earth covered, the dry land part, all covered in vegetation one day before we get the luminaries. Well, I think they were already there. Well, you think they were already there. You are inconsistent with this pattern. As a number of people said to me, you just got to prove this to me, Jack, from the Bible. And if you don't accept it from that, then that's where you're at. What do you care? You ought to rejoice that we didn't put us on some stupid spinning ball. I'm thinking, really? You had more than one choice. And you stuck the human race all over like pins in a deal all over the face of a spinning ball? Oh, I got some good verses coming up here. I got one that drove me nuts all my ministry. I wouldn't even touch it. But I'm not going to let you know what it is until I get into this analysis. And you explain that one to me. It's all embedded in the Scripture, but this is the foundation. This is the foundation to all topics relative to creation. And by creation, I took a step back. Let's go all the way back to the throne room. And then move forward. So we get this right. To separate the day from the night. Oh, that means the light thing's going to be turned off, isn't it? That was a weird day, that Wednesday. When, the next day it has this supernatural light. Now, we're not going to do lights. God was the gardener and the priest. Now he's going to be the electrician. Installing lights. In the firmament. Preposition in the Hebrew is beth. Let there exist. Be, exist, hayah. Now, what we have is the word translated lights. It's mayor. The word for light is just O-R, or. Mayor is a little, it's luminaries. As in Psalm 74:16 and Ezekiel 32:8. And it's used in the preposition B-E-T-H, which is always prefixed to like a noun. They didn't separate our, like we separate in or outside, our different ones. It doesn't say outside. It says in. We're in this room. We're not outside it. Language must communicate. And we must honor what the language is. We are in this room. So let it be in the firmament. So if you took firmament as atmosphere, let it be in the atmosphere? No. Now you know what you've been told about where the distances and size and all this stuff with regard to modern astronomy. So, folks, the luminaries are housed in the firmament. You say, well, how big is it? Look, don't ask me that. It's not billions of miles and all that. There's a size. I don't know anybody's ever mapped it out. Don't ask me those questions. I don't know the answers to that. I know it isn't anywhere what, in this case, the Earth's bigger. The Earth is bigger than these luminaries. Physically. I think you could see that. Of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Okay, these luminaries have multiple functions. The primary function is to provide light on the earth for humanity, both for day and night. We know that from personal experience. Light of the sun, light of the moon, and the stars. We know that. We can observe that. And let them be for signs. Oath. Oh, so they're going to be set up there in a way that communicate some kind of a inaudible message, some signs to be figured out, brings to your mind the signs of the zodiac on a 360 deal. Those signs have remained, as far as I know, set there in stone. They haven't gone away. They haven't fallen out. They were set up in the very beginning. There's a story in all that. It's complicated, but it's a biblical story of redemption. and the 12 stations of the zodiac. You know, what sign were you born under? Well, and let them be for signs and for seasons. Man on earth has regulated things with the four seasons. And for days and years, basic chronology. So it's basic chronology. It's seasons has to do a lot with the agricultural thing. And science has to do with the spiritual side of things. And let them be for lights, luminaries, that's Maor again, in again, the firmament of the heavens, to give light on the earth, and it was so. Now this one gets more drawn out, because it has to have more explanation. God made two great lights. Okay, these stand above the others. Now, we shift verbs from the create verb to the asah verb, which means to fashion something. You fashion a pot out of clay. You fashion it. Many examples of that. So God fashioned or made the two great lights, luminaries. Same word. He still uses them. In this, on this day, he doesn't name them. I don't know who named them, but he didn't. The greater light to govern, ruler of the day. That's a noun. To govern. Sounds like it's an infinitive, but it's mem shatha. Get that right. Means rule, realm, dominion. It has dominion of the day. And it is called the greater light. And the lesser. That's actually the word younger, but it means lesser here. It's used in a variety of ways. Katan, the adjective. And the lesser, to govern, same word, of the night. And then kind of like an afterthought, he made isn't in there, but it's implied. The stars also. Just throw them in. Just throw those in. The stars also. Like an afterthought. It's not really, but we'll throw those in. And where we actually have the Hebrew word star, kokav, 37 times in the Old Testament. God placed them, third time. God placed them. This is location. The word place is to give something. It has the extended meaning to place something in a particular environment. God placed them in the firmament of the heavens. So they're in this firmament. Those fans are in this room. Placed there, carefully, by the way. God placed them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night, just as he intended, to separate the light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, day four. Wednesday's done. And this whole process, apart from angels possibly, no one was there to witness, see this all happen. If you were down on earth level looking up, you know, and watching this scenery. Because it was a process, I think. I'm not trying to be, you know, on that. It was done in a sequentially over hours where this all happened. So one, as we're almost to the end of this session, but come back and give this an honest chance. Don't get mad. What do you care? If this is true, you're going to be liberated, and it is. Yeah, I don't want to be liberated. Okay, well, I understand that feeling. And it is a thing your mind goes through. Ask yourself honest questions. Why am I resistant to this? Is it pride? Is pride a factor? You can't have pride in any of these equations. You're not wanting to humble yourself. You say, oh, I ran my mouth and said this and that. Okay, fine. So did I. Does it make you feel any better? There is a word in the Bible, and I know some of you might think you're above it. It's called repent. We'd have to do it all the time. It means to change your mind. You say, on such a big scale, people think I'm crazy. I said, no, they won't. They may. They already think you're crazy, so don't worry about it. Told them what was in your soul, you know. They already think you're crazy. Well, I don't want them to think our church stands for the truth. I don't care what the cosmos thinks. Cosmos has no way to figure things out. They can judge us all day long, but they can't judge us in spiritual things because they don't have spiritual things. So I don't care what the cosmos thinks. I'm here for you. I'm here to teach you this. And if you think I did this as a snap deal, you can ask any number of people. Jack did not. Well, I've taken a lot of time and a lot of prayer. I'd rather be dead than teach false doctrine. Well, back in the day, I had this wrong. Well, you mean you taught it false? Yes. I was hanging on to this. And now I look at this. I got those scales off on this. And oh, my God. This is. I read all kinds of stuff. I read stuff in here when I needed to. And it is wrong. I don't do this with any other doctrine. I don't do it with this one. So be kind to one another. Don't be depressed. Once you get a hold of this, it's going to change some things in your thinking. I don't want to lose you, but I'm not going to compromise to keep you. I can't. I never did. I got my crown to worry about, okay? Let's take our break.